Para X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Gathering Radio Show here on the Para X Network. And this is Heidi, and I would say here's Stephanie, but she's not here with us tonight. Unfortunately, her daughter got really sick today, and so she had to take some mom time and help her out and make sure she's okay. So anyway, we'll send Stephanie all the best, and same with Casey. Hope that they're doing okay, and I'm sure Stephanie will be flying back here for next week's show, no problem, but we will send her all of our energy, healing energy that we can tonight so that she's okay, Casey's okay. And we were actually going to do a show together tonight, actually at my studio. We're in the process of trying to get set up so we can have multiple people together. And so we were scrambling at the last minute because then Stephanie wasn't going to be here, so I decided to come home, and we're all good, though, because we're really excited to, and I know Stephanie is really bummed to miss the show tonight, because we have our former co-host, Kristen Barton, with us tonight. Kristen is a Wiccan high priestess and expert in so many things, and one of them we're going to be talking about tonight. But we're super excited to have her back tonight talking with us, because she is one of our original three that we had on the show when we first started doing the show years ago. Kristen was with us. So I'd love to welcome Kristen back on the show tonight. How you doing, Kristen?
Hi, I'm doing great, and I'm so happy to be back and talking with you, and so bummed that Stephanie can't be with us tonight.
I know. It's sad. And I'm sorry that her daughter is sick, and I'm glad that she was able to do what she can do to take care of her. That's what's so cool about this, is we can still do our thing, and she can take care of her daughter, and we're all still good.
Exactly.
So we have a fun topic tonight, and an interesting topic, I think. It's something that is near and dear to your heart and mine as well. So I think we're going to have all sorts of fun things to talk about tonight. And informational, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So, but I have to say that I was, we're friends on Facebook, and so we see each other's posts and all these things, and sometimes you and I have similar dilemmas and things that come up in our work, you know, in our spiritual work. And I saw a post just briefly, and I don't know the whole post, it wasn't very long actually, where you were interacting with a demonologist, is that correct?
He was a self-proclaimed, self-described demonologist.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So I was kind of laughing because I've had those similar experiences as well, and I have worked with people who are educated and have done work with demons and demonology. Not very many, but there's a couple out there, and then there's the self-proclaimed non-demonologists.
Correct.
And
for whom I
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say for whom I fear genuinely, because as you know, people who don't understand these things and maybe think they do can really get themselves in hot water. So I was actually concerned about this guy.
Really? What was happening with this one? Can you talk about it at all, or I'm just curious?
No. I mean, it wasn't anything specific. It was just in getting into a conversation with him about how he gave misinformation about Wicca on a forum. And I came in and I said, hey, you know, this happens to be my area of expertise. I'm a Wiccan high priestess, and I would like to enlighten you as to, you know, some of the stuff is not correct. And instead of, you know, going, oh, okay, cool, or whatever, you know, he decided to, you know, teach me, and which was entertaining a little bit. But so in talking with him back and forth, he was attempting to show me his area of expertise, which he claims was demonology, and how he studied this for 3 years, and nobody becomes an expert in anything in 3 years. And how he believed that he was a real demonologist, and he would go into these situations with demonic infestations and things like that. And I was like, oh my God, dude, okay, go with God. It was scary, but he just tried to, you know how people will double down when they're caught in a place that they clearly don't, they didn't have proper information, then they get embarrassed, and then they try to like recover by doubling down, and it's like, okay, whatever.
that's, and you know, it is a little scary because I know that there will be people out there that will call on someone who has made this claim and said that they can help. And then, like you said, this could be really dangerous.
Yeah.
Really dangerous. Really. I had, being in a paranormal group, I have people approach me on a very regular basis saying similar things, you know, that if you need any help with any kind of demonic activity, you know, give me a call. I'm happy to help. And I'm always curious. I'm like, hey, what kind of experience do you have? Like, I'm sure if I need help, I'm willing to ask anybody. I'm not someone to say, oh no, I'm going to handle everything. If there's someone that has more expertise or knowledge about something and can be of help, of course. So I ask, like, well, what kind of, you know, history do you have with this? What kind of work have you done? And a lot of times I'll hear, well, I've done a lot of reading and I've studied a lot on the internet and, you know, things like that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, really? So no working knowledge? And, you know, I find that a little concerning, you know, that there's nothing behind it other than reading someone else's materials and not even necessarily personal experience. And I'm like, then why did you pick this? Because I don't know anybody that just picks wanting to be a demonologist. Like, I think sometimes that stuff picks you and you end up doing the work because of things that are happening. But I don't know anybody that has no experience, no history, background, anything, and then just goes, yeah, I'm gonna deal with this.
Well, I think people sometimes have difficulty discerning, you know, a fascination with the subject versus a call to do specific work around that subject. And you and I know very well that, you know, fascination might come first. But if you get the call, you get clonked over the head hard.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you don't really have a choice. I mean, I ended up being a witch because I had such psychic sensitivities that if I didn't learn to control my capacities, I was really going to be in danger of losing my mental health. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of put in that position. And then I found my spiritual community and I took the, you know, traditional Wiccan training, which is very in-depth. And also did a lot of other training that is outside of Wicca because I recognized that I needed, you know, a full complement of diverse, you know, training and background. And sometimes people think that, oh, I'm just really fascinated in this, so I'm going to go do this. And it's always so scary to me because they seem like they are so clueless as to what could actually happen to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And you and I think we have similar journeys as to why we're doing what we do. You know, neither one of us picked to be sensitive or psychic or any of the things that people would, you know, want to call it. But, you know, it was us. And I was the same thing. It was, if I didn't do something about this, I was going to die, you know, be it one way or another. It wasn't going to work to not find a healthy outlet for this and to understand it and to work with it and not let it run me. And so it certainly wasn't anything I chose, but to follow the path and find healthy ways to have outlets for this and healthy channels for this has been an absolute gift. Not 3 years of work, not, you know, it's been 30 years of work on myself and working within the community to learn from others and take classes. And I, you know, went so far as to do formal education and get a master's degree in this because I wanted to make sure that I'm looking at this from all different angles and perspectives and learning whatever I can so that I can be the best at what I do for whoever I'm working with and helping. So, and I'm still learning. I don't know that you ever stop doing that, but.
You definitely don't. And, you know, then you get the flip side where people do this, and I get this with Wicca quite a bit. I'm sure you have been exposed to folks who do this. Wicca is so dangerous. It is so you stay as far away from it as you can. I had a cousin who was Wiccan and she started getting attacked by demons. Oh my gosh. And it's like, okay, guys, if you jump into the ocean and you can't swim, you're going to drown. Like, the ocean isn't evil.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't go into the forest for a week without any, like, gear or knowledge of survival skills. But yet people will just be like, I'm going to be Wiccan. I'm going to read Cunningham. And I'm going to start casting spells and stuff, you know. And I'm going to, you know. And then, of course, what happens is they don't know what they don't know. They get themselves into trouble because they are not properly trained. And then, of course, stuff happens to them. So then they run screaming, you know, oh my God, Wicca is evil. No, you're just kind of being dumb, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's the flip side of the coin there, you know, is where people are either too confident, don't know what they don't know. Both sides don't know what they don't know, but they respond to it differently.
Right. Yep. You know, and you mentioned magic and, because I don't think you're in the chat room, are you, Kristen? Because I'm going to keep track of who's in the chat room and who's asking questions and stuff. And there's a cat in the chat room was saying, because now the conversation in the chat room has started to steer towards, you know, I think maybe charlatans and things like that, where someone, she said, I love people who claim they can remotely remove any negative entity remotely, so from wherever they are, for the low, low price of only a few $1,000s. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I actually had a client that happened to. She was desperate and things were happening and she was on a healing journey. And I'm like, this is really, it's not a one and done. This is you doing your healing journey. Well, she went and found this gal that said she would guarantee it, 100% guarantee. And for the first, it was like $800 or something. And it didn't work. And then she went back to the gal, she emailed and said, didn't work. And she said, said it was 100%. She goes, well, it's really like 97%. So if you sign up for three more, I'll give it to you a discount of, I don't know, it was like $1,500 for three more tries. And it should be gone. And she's like, no.
Like, should. God, don't do that. Possibly. We hope.
Should be. It should. Fingers crossed over here. I'm like, no. I'm sure it works sometimes because it will work sometimes, but sometimes it won't because that's not actually what's going to work. And that's what I told my client. I'm like, it's about your healing journey, not about an external entity that is something that could be just swept out or, you know, vanquished to the far corners. So anyway, so I was kind of laughing when I saw that in the chat room because I'm like, yeah, it happens. And you can do stuff remotely. And that's kind of what we want to talk about tonight, too, is just magic and how it works and what it is and how this can be real. How real is it? You know, what isn't real? Like, we want to kind of talk about all that stuff. So, Kristen, why don't you, let's talk about magic and what exactly, what, start from the beginning.
The the basics. Yeah. Well, and, you know, witches will debate and geek out about this on the regular, and we don't all agree, actually. And different kinds of magic, it is my opinion that different kinds of magic work in different ways, but in general, the broadest definition of magic is sending the will into the ether to create desired change. But how do we do that? Well, right. In my training, and of course there are many, many witches who are not Wiccan. As a matter of fact, most of the world's witches are not in fact Wiccan. There's a lot of different magical systems that exist, and so forth and so on. But for me, my training was you learn to feel energy, then you learn to manipulate that energy, to gather that energy, get it to do things, different things. In my coven, we would play with energy balls. Mm-hmm. And I'd have the students, just become cognizant of how does your body and your mind and your emotions, how does that feel when you're exposed to chi, life force energy? How does it feel when you hold this piece of wood versus that piece of wood? What is can you feel the vibration of the life force of the tree that this came from? Can you reach back and feel that? Or, how is aspen and oak different in your hand? I mean, we do these exercises. And then once you understand that you can feel it, you understand that you can manipulate it, then you develop different ways to empower it and release it. Mm-hmm. And there are other things that have to be done afterward, at least in my training, is that then you've got to put it out of your mind, which is very challenging to do. Because if you keep thinking about the spell you just did, you are not letting it fly free into the future to manifest. You're pulling it back.
Yep, yep.
So to know, to dare, to will, and to keep silent is the witch's pyramid. And the keeping silent part is very important, because not only do you keep silent with your mouth, you keep silent with your head. You don't think about it at all. And mm-hmm. I've had some really, really good luck with doing different sorts of spells. But that's the basics of how spell works in general. Would you agree? Do you have anything to add to that?
No, I definitely agree. In the work that I've done too, it's focusing your intention and creating this energy, or infusing this energy with your intention, with whatever it is. And then, yeah, absolutely, a full release is very much what's needed. And I think even doing, when I teach Reiki classes, doing energy work, it's the same thing but different, because really it's not our intention, because our intention can't be part of it. We are not the ones deciding what happens to whoever it is that we're channeling energy for. But right. It's up to spirit and this person's higher self. It's between them. We're just the channel. But what I think is interesting is being that channel and then cutting it, like letting it go. Because I know some people get caught up in the person and what's happening and what they want to have happen. And I wonder if it worked. And I wonder this. And it's like, no, you really have to let it go and let it do its thing.
Yep.
Or you're in the way. You get in the way of it, and mm-hmm. then it doesn't work, or it's not as effective, or whatever. But yeah, it's that letting go is the thing that people don't think about. They have to let it go so it can do whatever it's supposed to do and go wherever it's supposed to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and there's a lot of hygiene around doing any spiritual operations. And a lot of times what I have noticed is even in some like traditionally trained Wiccan people, they have not been taught that just like if you make a meal, you have to clean the kitchen afterward. Mm-hmm. When you do real magic, if you do a bunch of magic, the energetic flotsam and jetsam that you create can become heavy and can actually feel like an attachment to that mm-hmm. person. I've seen self-trained witches who are in general good witches who will neglect to cut free that debris on the astral, and it will begin to really affect them. Mm-hmm. And then that's another reason why they might run scared and go, oh, you know, it's dangerous, don't do it, blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, you know, you have to periodically do, you know, aftercare for that. Yeah. Cut that stuff loose and let it go back to the universe. You know, it's kind of mm-hmm. like spiritual fertilizer, if you will. And, you know, well, we know what fertilizer is made out of, right?
Yeah.
So, the old-fashioned kind anyway. So that is super important. So I always like to tell people that if you are interested in doing this sort of work, it's very important to have prep that you do to put mm-hmm. yourself in the right mindset, to make sure all tools that you may be using, I don't know, sometimes I don't use tools at all, but if I am using tools, they need to be cleansed and, yeah. and prepared and what have you. And then making sure that I have done my self-care, you know, making sure that I ate, you know, I ate a good meal before I tried to do this, unless there's a reason why I had to fast, because sometimes you will fast. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is you have to do, you develop that protocol for yourself. And then you do the operation, and then you clean up everything from having done the operation. And then also you have to on a daily basis, as a witch, do certain self-care, because if you do not, you can become very energetically ill. And I've had that happen to me. I had that happen to me when I was, because I'm also a Reiki master, I had at one point three different locations I was working at, and oh. I was kind of running late, and I forgot to cleanse myself between three clients. And I got home, I was not okay.
No, mm-mm.
No. And so this is very, very important. So people, I really want to emphasize that, you know, if you want to do this work, if you feel called to it, great. Don't run in like just half-baked on it, though. Because right. you can really get slapped.
Yep. Yeah, you can. Mm-hmm. And that's something, you know, it's like being in the paranormal field. People watch the shows and they want to just investigate. Well, it's not about the investigation as much as it is the prep work that goes into it and the back work after the investigation. It's yeah. really, there's so much that goes into it. It's not just the things that you see that look glamorous and look fun and entertaining, and not that the paranormal and investigating is by any means, but you know, they make it look that way on TV. And there's so much that goes into it. And I think the same thing with this, you know, it's not just the glamour of doing, you know, spell casting or whatever it is. It's like, there's so much work that goes into even getting yourself ready or getting everything ready. And then the, mm-hmm. the back end of it, where it's the cleanup and the self-care is huge. And you're right, exactly right. When I was doing Reiki in the beginning, when I started working with others, after about 6 months, I'm like, and I tell this in class, I'm like, this is not working. Like, what the heck? I feel awful. And because I wasn't taking care of myself and I wasn't letting go of the sessions and I wasn't disconnecting myself and, you know, all of the things that I do now. And when I do sessions, I have time in between each client that I need that time. And sometimes people yeah. come early and they're like, oh, should we just get started? I'm like, just give me a second. Okay. I just need to, you know, and if depending on what I'm doing, I may or may not need a break, but when I'm doing energy work, I really want that time in between. I schedule that on purpose to really mm-hmm. disconnect and clean up, get rid of the energy that's maybe scattered about and clean it and freshen it and get ready for the next person. So, including myself, because that's so important.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things, I know we've talked about this before, but I think it's always good to go over basics, and I get a lot of this. I'm sure you do too. Does spellcasting work? Or what are some spells that work?
Yeah.
It's like, okay. So yep. That's not how it is. A spell will work if the person casting it has the skill set to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say things like, well, what are some beginner spells? And I usually say, well, there are no beginner spells. There are beginner operations that it is wise to start with that are less likely to have the effects that we've already talked about upon a new practitioner. But really with my craft students, they take 2 years of training before they even do a spell at all. 2 years. And they have to agree that they're not going to go off and try to do this. I had a student I had to stop teaching because he insisted on doing things that were above his pay grade. He wasn't handing in the homework I gave him. Mm-hmm. And then he was all off doing, you know, playing with Ouija boards and stuff. I had to confiscate his Ouija board.
Oh, dear.
kept getting off for, you know, getting attachments. I was like, that's it? You're bringing it here, buddy. I'm going to lock that sucker up. You don't get that anymore.
I love
you
it.
Know. So, well, but he didn't understand.
You got to do what
and
you got to do.
Kept getting into trouble. But, you know, it's very serious. I recommend to people who are self-training, and, you know, I'm not a fan of self-training. I'm just not. Not even a fan of people with my level of ability and training just going off and not having community to help keep me grounded and discuss things with and things like that. But when they're self-training, I say, you know, I really read recommended books from active, you know, witches who are practicing, and read those for like 3 years. Like just read, take notes, experiment with energy, sure. But don't be trying to do spells until you really have an understanding. I always say that if you need to find a spell in a spell book to do it, you're not ready to do a spell.
Right. Yep.
The reason is an experienced practitioner can riff off of somebody else's magical work. But what I tell my students is, okay, I want you to write me a spell to achieve this particular thing. And then I want you to explain to me each of the steps that you take and why you're using what you're using. And so they have to be able to explain in energetically cohesive terms what each action of the spell is designed to do and how is that whole body of that spell being, you know, sewed up and sent out to accomplish something. And so that needs to happen. You have to be able to do that before you actually have the understanding to make a spell work. And the most common thing that I teach, and this is just basic, there's so many ways to do a spell, but I always have my students, you know, discern the need, discern the intention, create the symbol set. So what would be a symbol set? I knew a woman who did a job. She did a spell to get a job, and it was so cute because what she did is she actually used a set of Lee press-on nails to represent like what she thought of as an office job, like where she would, you know, because she just saw herself working in an office and she wanted to have her fingernails done as part of how her office look. So she used these nails as her symbol set, and gosh darn it if it didn't work. But it was so cute. I was like, yeah, I love it. You know, so you create your symbol set. Then you discern how you're going to empower the symbol set. Then you gather the energy and you release it with intention toward the target. And that is a very simple skeleton of a basic spell.
Yep.
And of course, you can do a whole lot of other things. I also really like to kind of scavenge stuff from other systems. So, like, for instance, and clearly there's a fine line between respectfully acquiring something and going, oh, hey, that looks like it would really work. I would like to use that technique in my magic, and cultural appropriation. We want to be very careful not to appropriate culture, but to respectfully acquire and maybe talk to somebody who's from that culture and say, hey, you know, would this be offensive if I kind of used this? Or is there a way I can use it that is not offensive? But I use hex jars quite a bit. And it's not always for hexing, but it's called, you know, it's like witch bottles or hoodoo hex jars kind of a thing where they have different things that they'll put into a jar. And then the idea is you seal it and you bury it upside down on your property. And it's actually a very old technique. They're still finding witch bottles all over the world. I love it when they find them on the East Coast. I'm going to the East Coast later this week Cape May, New Jersey, where I'm having an initiate gathering with my my tradition of Wicca. So a bunch of us initiates are going to descend on this poor little beach town. And over the East Coast, they find hex bottles kind of regularly. And so one of the cool things that I like, and they find them all over Ireland and Scotland too, and in England. But so because it is an old technique, I actually take advantage of the fact that there are many, many generations of witches who have used this technique, and I actually draw on the power of those witches, connect to it through the technique itself to give oomph to my spell. Mm-hmm. So using, you know, just like when a prayer is repeated over and over, the prayer becomes empowered, right? So that's why, you know, Christians will repeat the Lord's Prayer or what have you, you know, because whether they explain it to themselves in this way or not, they are connecting with all of the people who ever said that prayer and all the people who ever will say that prayer. Mm-hmm. And so there is definitely energetic resonance in a long used technique of spiritual operation. Mm-hmm. So I love the jars. And I have done hot footing where you basically make somebody leave you alone.
Yeah.
I've done that fairly frequently. put a little Angelica root in there. It's like, you know, get your dream job in Egypt, though.
Exactly.
Don't go away mad, just go away. Blessings upon you as you leave. Yeah.
Exactly.
So.
too funny.
There's candle magic, there's knot magic.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about this, but we do need to take a break, our half hour break. And then I do have a question in the chat room that I want to throw out there before we get onto some of this other stuff. All right.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back in a couple minutes. This is The Gathering here on the Para X Network.
Oh, hey, Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi. Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey.
What has your attention?
Oh, I'm listening to Para X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling Radio Show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on Para X.
I am horror author James Hershey Jr. from the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Check out the book that started it all, what critics called the scariest book of the year. I am Legion. And if you're still breathing, check out the other two books in the series, The Surrogate of Souls and The Rise of the Revenant. These books will scare the hell out of you. That, I promise.
Welcome back to The Gathering here on the Para X Network. And we have guest and former co-host Kristen Barton here with us. Welcome back, Kristen.
Thank you very much. So much fun tonight talking about
it. Isn't it? We were talking on the break about how we could probably talk about this for 3 weeks. And I said 3 hours. Kristen said 3 weeks. And I'm like, yeah. So we have a question. We've been talking about the basics. I mean, we've like barely even skimmed the top of basics. But we did have a question. I wanted to get to that before we got too far into it. So John in the chat room is asking, is there any way to know if someone has done spell work on you? And then he says, also, regardless of whether you know or not, is there a way to remove all spells on you or protect yourself against spell work being done on you?
Absolutely. All of the above. Yes. Yes. And there are many different ways to do this. I know Heidi has, you've done a lot of this work helping people. And for me, I mean, me personally, I have protections up because I'm a witch. You know, so I mean, you can, in fact, there are wardings and things that you can learn to do. I also, if I think somebody's going to attack me, I have hex decoys, which the author Jason Miller, no, he's not like giving me kickbacks for mentioning his name, but his work is good. It's not for the beginner, but he goes into some of his hex decoy stuff that he does. And if you're already a witch and you're, you know, you feel like you're kind of ready for something that's not beginner stuff, Jason Miller can teach you about hex decoys and other things. But also, yes, you can determine if there's somebody is trying to do a working on you. A lot of times that can be done with a reading. I use my pendulum. I have a really nice relationship with one of my pendulums, and I'll just whip that sucker out. And, you know, but also you can learn how to feel it, kind of, because it'll feel funky. Mm-hmm. So once you determine through whatever means, getting somebody to help you, getting a reading or what have you, you know, then you can in fact disengage the spell from your own energy. Heidi, I know you do this. Talk a little bit about how you do this.
Well, when I'm working with a client, you know, I'll have a client that comes in and says, you know, lots of people will come in and say, I think someone has done a spell against me or has cursed me or this or that. And a lot of times it's not the case. I think you spoke into this earlier where some people maybe think that there's been something that's happened towards them or against them. And really it's their own, that's their own muck. Yeah. It's their own stuff. Yeah. And, you know, they just haven't done their own work, or they've gotten themselves into some trouble or whatever. And it's not usually, because what I have found, and I don't know if you feel like this too, Kristen, there's a lot of intention. I mean, people, like you said, they read a book and they start casting spells, right? But when you don't have the knowledge and the study behind it and the understanding of it, it's like anything. It may work, but it also may not work. And more likely than not, it's not going to work, or not to the full effect. There might be some little dribble of something that comes out, but not to what the extent of what could be done. So sometimes, yeah, things can work, but a lot of times it doesn't. So when people come in, they're like, I think I have a curse or a spell. It's like, no, I think you just have to do your own healing work, you know, because you can feel like I feel and I see what is around them, and I can see when it's something that's not theirs. And even when it is theirs, but it's from other stuff and their own experiences, it's still theirs, even if it's from someone else. But if there's something that you had nothing to do with it, and this is now on you, it looks different. I see an energy that is on them that isn't from them, and they had nothing to do with it. And it does happen, though. And so I see that, and then I say, okay, well, we can go, you know, and do a shamanic session, so we can really go in and explore all the different areas that this could be coming from, or what could be, you know, because I don't always know the who, you know, and sometimes it doesn't matter. Mm. But then we can go ahead and start detaching or pulling apart or dismantling or whatever needs to happen, because everything seems like it would be nice if it was a, you know, straightforward every time you do this and that's it, but it's not always like that, because it depends on what was sent. So.
Right.
And how it was sent and how it was built. So anyway, so I do, that's how I guess I see it when people come in, but it's not as often as people think. But sometimes it happens and you wouldn't even know that that's what it is. And so anyway.
Well, and also you'll get people who are not saying to themselves, I'm going to cast a curse on this person, but they're just ill-wishing the person so hard that they effectively hex them.
It's kind of the same thing. Yeah. But that intention... Mm-hmm. It's really strong and really purposeful. So it doesn't have to be an intentional spell or hex or curse or whatever. And it is exactly the same thing.
Yep, it sure is.
Yeah.
I know, you know, it, it was funny one time, I may have told this story on the show before, but I one time attracted a teenage stalker who was claiming she was a high priestess and she was 16. And she had some stuff going on, you know. Yeah. And I was trying to be kind to her on social media because I understood this was a kid, you know. But she became very, very volatile and kept lobbing curses at me. And at one, she actually had a decent arm because she fried my brand new keyboard. And I was like, damn it, kid, now I got to go to Office Depot again. You know,
it's like,
that's $54.
Exactly. Now you're messing with my computer. Like,
now it's on. No, I'm kidding. But what I did do because she was a kid is I wasn't going to treat her like I would an adult witch, you know. And I try not to just be mean anyway, even if somebody is aggressive. But what I did is I created a filter so that all the crap she threw at me would just be converted to like flower fertilizer for my own use in my spells. And that filter worked really well. And I have now just used that technique where anybody throws anything at me and I'm just like, oh, look, fertilizer, you know?
Nice.
And you know, you can do that stuff and it doesn't harm anybody, you know?
Right.
And so that's where I kind of try to go, because I also believe strongly, and I've said this to students as well, is that let's say somebody really maliciously attacks you with magic and or other more mundane things, it still affects you as to how you respond to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not trying to use rage and anger and all those things as fuel for stuff that I'm doing magically, because eventually that tints me. It puts a tint on my spirit, you know, my work, and eventually leads to ill health in some capacity. And so I try very much to go, okay, how can I stop this person from doing this, whether it's to me or someone else, and do it in a way that harms nobody or minimizes harm and does not create a tit for tat back and forth witch war volley.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I really, you know, feel strongly about that, because life is short. I'm not trying to like be all bogged down with that crap. But yeah, you know, that's the other thing that people need to be aware of, is that you can't always control how, even if magic works, you can't always control how it works.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And magic doesn't love you. Magic is brutal in some cases. It will take the shortest distance between two points.
Yep.
And even experienced witches sometimes don't take all of the factors into account. They don't, you know, we will oftentimes build in and, you know, let it be done with no harm to anyone type of a thing. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but, you know, if you're not, like, really careful with your wording, and boy, exact wording is so important in magic. You have to say mm-hmm. exactly what you mean.
Yep.
Leave no room for vagueness in any spell, enchantment, or, you know, incantation that you're doing. Because if that shortest distance between point A and point B includes variables you haven't accounted for, you can end up with, like, yeah, it worked. You know, the guy who does the spell to get $1 million and gets in a car accident and becomes paraplegic and wins $1 million settlement. You know,
right.
That's legit. That spell worked.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
And that's, you have to think about what the work you're doing from so many different perspectives and so many different angles. It's almost like you have to go into different dimensions and look at it, because it can be so out of the places that you would normally think. And how would you know to think like that? So then you really do have to be careful when you're doing this.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of times I've frustrated people because, for instance, I had this one lady who approached me and wanted to talk about this sort of thing. So, I did that. And then she's like, I really need to know how to do a spell to keep my godson out of jail. He's going to court and he could do time and blah, blah, blah. And I said, here's the thing. Ethically, according to my vows, I cannot do a spell that is designed to alter the course of a person's life. If this kid did this crime, he must answer for what he did. And if I try to keep him from answering for what he did, the outcome could be even worse for him. And who is to say that if he does time, he won't meet somebody through a program for you know, young people who have committed crimes, who will be a changing force in this kid's life and alter his life for the better, and that he won't grow as a person and end up helping kids who are in trouble when he's older. We can't predict. An outcome can seem negative to us. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that we get to just go, oh, well, I'm going to make that happen the way I want it to happen.
Right. Yep.
Because you can't extrapolate for that. And a lot of times you'll get yourself in hotter water.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's why at least Wiccans tend not to do spells like that.
Right. Yeah, it's really when you're doing, I guess, what I call directional work, and I don't know, maybe others call it, where you're really focusing on something very specific to receive an outcome that you want. It's like, oh, I'd be careful. You know, I use the example of I want someone to fall madly in love with me. I want to be in a relationship and I just want someone to fall madly in love with me. I'm not saying who. I want someone to fall madly in love with me, and you just kind of fling it out there, and it's like, well, you could be receiving a stalker, you know.
Exactly.
You don't know what exactly. And Sherry in the chat room, I saw that she just said love spells and stalkers. Yes, exactly. You and I are thinking the same thing. Because I use that in my classes a lot. I'm like, you got to be really careful, and you have to think about this in a bunch of different ways, because if you don't think of that one way, and that's, like you said, the easiest flow, you know, is this way, and you're not thinking of it, it could end up being, it could backfire.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. The love spell thing, the only thing that I will do magically for anybody, even somebody I know, or even myself, but I mean, I'm happily married, so I don't have to, but, is to underscore a person's vibration so that the right person for them is more likely to see them or encounter them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to compel that person to then fall in love with them, but ideally, if they are the best person for that person, and they notice them, they may fall in love with them. I'm not trying to make that person do that, though, because, again, you know, I've seen love spells over and over. I knew a woman who was not completely untrained. She was a first degree in a 3-degree system, and she did a love spell on a particular man because she came from a trad that didn't teach her, that cautionary tale. And she immediately fell out of infatuation with him, and he became an obsessive, controlling stalker. And was, you know, like driving by her house and giving her 300 emails a day and all, you know, and was obsessed with her. And she was like, oh my God, I have no feelings for this man at all. Well, that's because you sent them into the spell. Your feelings fueled the spell that turned him into a stalker.
That's not good. Not good. Yeah, it's really one of those things that it's, you know, it's interesting to talk about, and it's really, there's so much out there and people are really fascinated, but it's really, you've got to be careful with this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Even the stuff that seems, you know, easy, simple, you know, you read books on the, easy spells for beginners or whatever. It's like, you want to be careful with this kind of stuff too. And have the proper respect for it, I guess I would say.
Yes. And a lot of times, like I said, the outcome is, in fact, you get what you wanted, but it doesn't arrive in the manner in which you desired it to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
And that is usually how people get bitten.
Mm-hmm.
And even experienced witches will mess that up sometimes.
Yeah.
And but so let's say a person wants to do, you know, start to gain a skill set to do this. One of the things that I encourage my brand new students to do nobody's brand new when they do energy work with me, but after the first time they start venturing into that realm, I have them charge water.
Mm-hmm.
Sun, you know, lunar water, solar water. You can charge it with an intention. you know, sit it on the, if you're making lunar water, you know, stick your clear glass of water on your window ledge and the three nights of the fullest moon, maybe put an intention written on it underneath the water glass, and then go ahead and maybe bathe in that water, you know, put that water in your bath water, maybe drink it, whatever, you know, however you want to use it, put a little fixative in there, like, you know, vodka or cheap whiskey or whatever, and stick it in a bottle and use it for various and sundry things. That's one of those things that tends not to have a lot of wild card to it.
Right.
So I mean, like if something goes south, it's not going to like hurt you.
Right. You know, it's not, I mean, taking the whole thing down.
Right. So
it's,
if people want to
take down the town.
Right. So, like, start with stuff that is unlikely to have this super grandiose effect.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
But it's great for, like, spells to, you know, lose weight or eat more healthily or, you know, feel more balanced throughout your day or focus you more at work. You know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some things, because people always want to be able to take and go, like, I did a thing, you know, I did this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And start to feel that they have that ability. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't want to like rain on the curious witches out there who are like, but I really want to do something. What could I do? You know, but don't start with, you know, like elaborate spells. Start with something like charging something.
Yep.
Learning how to clear something. Mm-hmm. Study how to open stuff, but don't open anything until you know how to close it.
Yes, exactly. Oh my gosh. No kidding. Yeah, you know, that's something that you bring up a good point, is to work with something that it's no harm, no foul. You know, if it's not working, it doesn't really have, it just kind of fizzles, let's say.
Right.
You know, it doesn't really have any kind of kickback or any kind of effect if it doesn't work, you know. So you start with small things, like when we teach a Reiki class, and I talk about, if you're, you know, doing Reiki with yourself, and you can also do Reiki on a glass of water, and when you're done, you can thank, you know, the channels, you know, and the higher powers for allowing you to channel this energy to infuse this water, and then you take it outside and you give it as a gift to Mother Earth to do with what she, as she sees fit with this water, you know. So we're not even setting intention as to where it should go. It's just give it to Mother Earth and let her do her magic, and just say, here's a gift for you, Mother Earth. I've infused this water with Reiki energy, and it's, this is for you to use however you see fit. And doing that kind of like magic, I guess, or, you know, spell work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just practicing like that to just get kind of the feel and the flow and see how it works. And without necessarily in that respect, having an understanding of validation, like you don't know where it went. You don't know how it worked. You just trust that it worked and was used for the highest good of wherever it was received. So, So it is nice to be able to start with something that's like slow learning, slow working.
Well, yeah. And the thing is, this is like, in doing any energetic work, it's like learning to surf. You have to gain the feel of the energy and learn how to work with and, in a sense, ride the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not something, you can't just become an expert in it. It is a matter of practice.
Mm-hmm.
It is a matter of understanding that daily practice or that several times weekly practice or whatever you're doing is the journey. You're not just doing the journey to get somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing the journey to experience it and to learn from it and to have it change you.
Yep.
Because it is my belief that real magic changes the caster and the universe responds.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, in the chat room, there was a little moment where they had talked about, you know, I want this and I want it now. And I think that's you know, humans tend to be like that. I think we've gotten more and more like that with, you know, having computers and everything delivered at our fingertips within 24 hours or less, even this instant gratification mm-hmm. energy, you know, of an expectation of just wanting something and having it now. And I think that absolutely does not apply to magic. It does not. No. And to how to work with magic and spell casting, that is never going to change. It will not be an instant gratification thing where you want it and then you learn it and you do it. And it all happens in, you know, the cliff note version. That just doesn't exist with magic. It doesn't. And if you try, it's really going to be, it could be dangerous.
Yeah, definitely. And mm-hmm. it is, if we are mindful in the way that we approach any spiritual operation, there are gifts to be had for choosing an ethical course. And so I really encourage all witches. I mean, my students are, you know, required to do this because it's a religion, it's Wicca. But we really study ethics a mm-hmm. lot, and we mm-hmm. discuss ethics a lot. And I encourage everyone who does any sort of spiritual operation to really pay attention to their ethics. One witch's ethics may be very different from another witch's ethics, and that's okay. But know why your ethics are your ethics.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. and reflect and you meditate on that and read, you know, books that are on ethics and talk with other witches about ethics. Because yes, you may be, quote, very powerful and you may get the results that you want, but your motivations, your actual true motivations, and we're all human and we can all have, you know, less than pristine motivations sometimes, but your motivations will saturate not only your magic, but your life.
Mm-hmm.
And once you enter onto the magical playing field, you play by different rules, not just in magic, but in life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And learning that playing field is very, very important. Because now it's that whole thing of if you can see them, they can see you.
Mm-hmm.
There is stuff that is on that field that doesn't exist for people who are not playing on that field. And so mm-hmm. being mindful of, like, you know, what are my motivations? What does motivate me? What, where am I needing to reflect on and become more mature in my practices?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're here, we're not done. So no, yep. nobody, you know, this is the other new witch thing. I never harm anyone. Okay, sugar. If you breathe in, you're killing billions of microorganisms. Now you have to breathe. But telling yourself you never harm anyone or anything, that's delusional. You step mm-hmm. on ants, you know, you say yeah. something that hurts another person's feelings. You do that,
mm-hmm.
and it's very important to really analyze, really do that mirror work and look inward and get, you know, be humble about accepting other people's observations of you.
Yep.
Because yeah. that is part of staying safe in magic.
It is. Part of staying safe is just being really honest with yourself. And, you know, you mentioned, and we have like not even 2 minutes left, so we'll just, we'll have to wrap this up, but it is, you mentioned community and talking with others too, to kind of, mm-hmm. I think it's good to check in and see, because sometimes you're thinking, yep, this is ethical and this is what I'm doing. And that's cool. And then I've had this conversation with people that say, well, yeah, but if I did this, you're doing it thinking it's all good. But if I actually did this to you in the way that you're saying, how would you feel? And they're like, oh my gosh. I said, right. Yeah. So it's good to talk. And, you know, cause sometimes we think in our head we have it, and then we expand out into the community and we go, oh, wait. Oh, I have to include other people in this, and now it doesn't make sense. Okay, great. So yeah, it is important to, I think, connect with others in some way, shape or form. But
mm-hmm.
Kristen, it's been great having you on the show again. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Lots of fun. We're going to have you back again, of course, and talk about all other things magic, because we just barely even touched on it tonight. But we will have you back.
Yeah.
Stephanie will be back next week, everybody. I do want to thank everybody for listening tonight, tuning in, everybody in the chat room. If we have troops listening, thank you for your service and stay safe out there. Yeah. Para X, thank you for hosting us. And Sarge, our awesome producer, thank you so much. And I think that's thank all we you. Have. Kristen, thank Alrighty. You again. And we'll chat again, and everybody else will tune in next week. Thank you.
All right. Stay safe. Be blessed.